We have been studying through the book of Daniel for the past several months, and we come to the second half of Daniel chapter 11. Following last Sunday, family and I, we went with the Gwasta Pharaohs up to Yosemite for 3 days. And if you haven't been to Yosemite, you should go. It's one of the most beautiful places I think exists in this world. And we went there, and it was just a glorious time to be together, to relax, to enjoy fellowship, to enjoy family. And it was my desire to go on a little hike, because you should do that when you're in your Yosemite. But we have 2 kids. And one is 4 and a half, one is 1 and a half. And we have a stroller that is made for the mall. The Gwasta Pharaohs have a stroller that is an off-roading stroller that is made by Kawasaki. Automatically propelled. Andy recently finished his professional soccer career. And so I had many things against me as we approached this hike. My soccer career ended a long time ago. And his kids weigh half the amount. He has by far less than half the fat. And he is half my age. So, not really, but it felt like it. Just trying to create a picture here. So we went on this hike, and it was difficult. We made turns where I thought that it was maybe going to get better, and then it would just get worse. And there actually came one point where we hit a rock with our little mall stroller, and Jonathan went flying forward into the rocks, scratching his hands. And he looked at me like, "Why did you do that?" And it seemed like every turn that we would make, it was more uphill. And then there was long periods of downhill, only to be quenched by another uphill journey to go right back to the same elevation that we had worked so hard to get to. And at one point in this hike, Tasha looked at her poor husband and said, "Do you want me to take over?" I was like, "You have shamed me." That's like saying, like, "Honey, can you go downstairs? I heard a noise. I'm scared." I said, "If I need CPR, you do it. Do not let Andy do it. Let me die with dignity." You think of the lives that we have, and you think of the courses that we take. And for some of us, it may seem like the course has been very sweet and very fun. And God has blessed us just in incredible ways. Others of us may have been on our journey, and we have come across things in which we did not know that that was around the corner. We didn't expect it. The pain, the tears, the agony in which it inflicted upon us was more than we felt like was possible to bear. I know our congregation, and it's not difficult for me to look at the sheep who are here and know that some of your journeys, some of your paths have been incredibly painful. Incredibly painful. We look at these last 3 chapters of Daniel, and we see that God is ministering to Daniel in a time in which his path has turned in a direction that is such that he did not anticipate, and he is in incredible pain. He tells us at the beginning of chapter 10 that in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 full weeks. He's just mourning for 3 weeks straight. He's not eating pleasant foods, or no meat, no wine is coming into his mouth. He's not anointing himself at all. And so for 3 full weeks, this is his condition. This is his state. And his heart is just broken. And we see God send this angel to him to minister to him. And we look and see the battle that was taking place that caused the angel to be delayed. But this angel comes, and this angel comes to minister to him. And the ministry that comes to Daniel comes in the form of a prophecy. Things in Israel were not what he expected. The people had not returned to rebuild the temple in the groves in which he anticipated that they would. Very few people went back. They were too content to live amongst the world. He's in a place where the rebuilding of the temple is taking far more time than he anticipated, and there's roadblocks all over the place, and I'm sure other things that were going on in Daniel's life that made it to where he is just devastated in mourning. And God sends this angel to him, and we began in chapter 11 looking at the revelation in which he was given, and the revelation literally just goes through details, incredible details, details that any historian would look at and say, there is no way that that was said in advance. It could not have been. It gives details that are just so clear of the history of the world and what was taking place that it could not have been prophecy. It had to have been written afterwards. And yet we see that it was written hundreds of years before these things took place. The incredible detail in which the angel would give to Daniel, saying, here is the things that are going to take place. And much of what we look at is not positive. Much of what we look at is your path, your journey, this is what is in store. This is what is in store for my people. And it is, you're being attacked from the north and the south, and you're caught in between, and here's the leaders, and here's the rulers, and here's the things that are going to take place, and there's details that are given that we would look at, and it wouldn't want to be the news that we would hear, that we would want to hear, that we would desire to look at to say, okay, I have hope, because there's a lot more uphill battles that you guys have. You need to know that, God's saying to Daniel. And yet, this angel has come to minister to him. Last Sunday, we looked at that a good portion of that ministry is to know that God is in control, that God is sovereign, that God says, these things are going to happen. I know every part of it. I have decreed these things to take place. And God's people would have heard this and read this and thought, I don't know what he's talking about. And then as time went on, they would have looked and said, that's exactly what God said was going to happen. It's exactly. The details are perfect as far as what God said was going to happen. And there would have been great comfort for them to know that our sovereign God knew every detail of what was going to take place in history. Every detail. And it should be a great comfort to you and to I this morning to know that our sovereign and good God knows every detail of what takes place and what will take place in your life. The details. He's not a God that is constantly learning. He knows all things. He's not a God that's waiting to see what's going to happen next. He is a God that gives us chapters like Daniel chapter 11 to be able to say, I control all things. I know all things. I will tell you the details in such a way that there will be no doubt in your mind that I am the God of history. I'm the God of this universe. And I am in control. We come to verse 20 in Daniel chapter 11, and we see that he says, there shall arise in his place one who imposes taxes on the glorious kingdom, but within a few days he shall be destroyed, but not in anger or in battle. And in his place shall arise a vile person to whom they will not give the honor of royalty, but he shall come in peaceably and seize the kingdom by intrigue. Now we look at this and we see historically that this has come to a man named Antiochus Epiphanes. And he is someone who, amongst the history of Israel, was someone who was incredibly brutal with God's people. Incredibly brutal. We looked at this earlier in our studies in Daniel and went through details of this man's life. If you're with us, I'm sure you remember, but the details of a man who would attack and attack in such a way that he would just devastate the people. It says in verse 22, with the force of a flood, they shall be swept away from before him and be broken. And also the prince of the covenant. And after the league is made with him, he shall act deceitfully. He shall come up and become strong with a small number of people. He shall enter peaceably, even into the richest places of the province, and he shall do what his fathers have not done, nor his forefathers. He shall disperse among them the plunder, spoil, and riches, and he shall devise his plans against the strongholds, but only for a time. He shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. And he shall not stand, for they shall devise plans against him. Yes, those who eat of the portion of his delicacies shall destroy him. His army shall be swept away, and many shall fall down slain. Both these kings' hearts shall be bent on evil, and they shall speak lies at the same table. But it shall not prosper, for the end shall still be at the appointed time. While returning to his land with great riches, his heart shall be moved against the Holy Covenant, so he shall do damage and return to his own land. In verse 29, it says, at the appointed time, he shall return and go toward the south. But it shall not be like the former or the latter, for ships from Cyprus shall come against him. Therefore, he shall be grieved and return in rage against the Holy Covenant and do damage. So he shall return and show regard for those who forsake the Holy Covenant. And forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices, the place, and place there the abomination of desolation. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many, yet for many days they shall fall by the sword, by sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. And that when they fall, they shall be aided with little help, but many shall join with them by intrigue. And some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purify them, and make them white until the time of the end, because it is for the appointed time. There was details that were given in there to describe this man's life and what he did. When it talks here about the details, for ships from Cyprus shall come against him. Therefore, he shall be grieved and return in rage against the Holy Covenant and do damage. What took place was he was stopped on his conquest to go south. And what ended up happening was this military with these ships came and they stopped him. And we're told that the leader put a circle around him and basically said, if you want to talk with those that you're wanting to discuss these things with, then have them come in here and speak within the circle. You're not leaving my presence. And we're told that he retreated just incredibly in a humble position, just having lost all pride. And he was so angry based upon that it was at that time that he went to Jerusalem and literally just sacked them in a way that is referred to here as the abomination of desolation. Slaughtered a pig there upon the altar. What he did here, Daniel says, his fathers had never done anything like this, nor his forefathers. It was just absolutely brutal what he did to God's people. And so Daniel is given the details, the incredible details of what this leader would do during this time. Now we come to verse 36, and in verse 35 it said, "And some of those of understanding should fall to refine them, purify them, and make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time." Now from verse 36 on to the end of the chapter, there's some that would say that it's still referring to Antiochus Epiphanes, but there's others, and I would fall into that category to say that no, from verse 36 on, it's referring to Antichrist to come. One who is so similar to Antiochus Epiphanes that there's just this smooth transition there, but at the end, this is what's going to take place. It tells us that until the end of time, because it was still for the appointed time, then the king. And we go into a transition of referring to Antichrist. Part of the reason why we would hold that is because it gives us a description of Antichrist to come. Not only that, but verses 36 and on do not follow from what we would know historically of Antiochus Epiphanes. It follows the prophecies that are given of Antichrist to come in the end of the time. And so let's look at verse 36. "Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god. He shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods and shall prosper until the wrath has been accomplished. For what has been determined shall be done. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall exalt himself above them all." And we look in Scripture and other places, and we see descriptions of the Antichrist. Let me just read one for you from Revelation 13, verse 4, where it says, "So they worshiped the dragon and gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying," meaning the Antichrist, "who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. And then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Description that's given as far as here's what this man will be like. Here is the authority in which he would have. They will worship him. Here's all the things that are going to take place. In verse 38 of Daniel 12, it says, Daniel 11, it says, "But in their place he shall honor a god of fortresses and a god which his fathers did not know. He shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus he shall act with the strongest fortresses, with a foreign god. And he shall acknowledge and advance its glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain." Verse 40 says, at the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him. The king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and many ships. And he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. He shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. He shall escape, but these shall escape from his hand, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over the precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyans and Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. But news from the east and north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. Now, as you study such things and look to interpret prophecy and try to understand end times and these things that would occur, you got to take this in light of other passages in Scripture. Let the Bible be a commentary on the Bible. There's other chapters that deal specifically with this, chapters like in Ezekiel 38, Revelation 16, Revelation 19, give us details of these things. We look and we see this angel telling Daniel, here's the things that are going to happen. This is what it will be like at the end of the age. But it's to prepare him and it is to comfort him. I look and I think that a lot of these things, when that time comes and we see all of these things happening, like those that would have watched all of the previous prophecies being fulfilled would have looked and said, that's exactly what has happened. And I think without a doubt, there will come a time where we will look upon these things and see these things occurring in the last days, where we'll look and say, that's exactly what is happening right now. It's exactly what is happening. But we look at this and there's a reason for the text, and it is to prepare him. To prepare him for what is on his path and what is on the path for God's people. And God has done this for us over and over again. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, to chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. In verse 3, we see that Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answers them and he says to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name and saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. And then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor shall ever be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now you read something like this, and it mirrors what we see in Daniel, doesn't it? It mirrors the details of, here's the things that are going to occur, and it's not peachy. You don't look at this and say, oh, looking forward to that time. No one would think that. We pray, God, save us from that time. Rapture us before that time. We don't want to participate in these things. That would be the hope, because you look at these things and no one looks at this and says, these are the details that we look forward to. You see in the first three verses of Daniel chapter 12, if you'll go back there with me for a moment, keep your finger in Matthew 24, but go back to Daniel chapter 12. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. I believe that when this angel is giving this prophecy to Daniel, there is delight in telling him what is going to happen in the end. Title of our sermon this morning is The End of the Story. Because the end of the story is sweet for us. We look and we think of the paths in which we take and the difficulties in which come by our path, things that cause us to stumble, things that cause us to labor and the burden which is upon us, the weeping, the grieving, the tears. And yet God tells Daniel, there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. We just read of this great tribulation in Matthew 24. Where in verse 21 it says, then there will be a great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. There is going to be a great tribulation. But then it says, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life. Who? Who are those? Everyone who is found written in the book. But some to shame and everlasting contempt. Turn with me back to Matthew 24. In verse 27. Where it says, for as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, and from one end of heaven to the other. We had just heard from Christ of there is going to be a tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. And now you look at it and we get the end of the story. The end of the story is As lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Christ is returning. He's going to appear in heaven. The tribes, the people will mourn. We're told that he'll send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they are to gather together his elect. You see, the faithfulness of God to his people, there in Daniel saying these things are going to happen, but also to us looking at it saying he is faithful to us. The end of the story for us is glorious, even though God says, prepare yourself because there will be tribulation. These things are just the beginning of the sorrows. They will kill you. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. These things are going to happen to God's people. And yet he gives us the greatest news that he is returning. The end of the story. We see in verse 45 there of Daniel 11, and he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and on the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end and no one will help him. We look at this section and it deals with Antichrist and it deals with the fact that there will come a time, referring to the battle of Armageddon, there will come a time at the very end in which these things are dealt with. And you may look at this section and say, I don't think it's talking about Antichrist. Whether you do or not, it doesn't change the fact that prophecy has told us so clearly of what will take place at the very end. We know what's going to happen. Turn with me to Ezekiel 38, verse 18. Ezekiel 38, verse 18. In Ezekiel 38:18, it says, and it will come to pass at the same time when God comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face. Think of that, the words of God. There will come a time when my fury will show in my face. The wrath of God. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there will be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother. I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on the many peoples who are with them, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. The power of Almighty God just saying, these are the things that are going to happen. They will see the fury in my face. And what is going to happen is they will know that I am the Lord. Here is what's going to happen. We see the details in Daniel. We see the details in Matthew. We see the details in Ezekiel. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 16. In Revelation 16, verse 12. It says, then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, Revelation 16, 12. And its waters was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gather them together in the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. And then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as has not occurred since men were on the earth. And now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. And we get a picture there of what's taking place. We get a picture there of the details of his end will come. His end is going to come. Look with me at Revelation 19, verse 1. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her." And again they said, "Hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever." The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, "Amen, hallelujah." And then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you servants, all those who fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." Now, picture this with me for a moment, because you're looking at Daniel, and God's going through and saying, "Daniel, here's all the things that are going to happen. Here is all the brutal things that are going to take place. This is what your path looks like. This is what the path of my people look like. You're going to have leaders that come like Antiochus Epiphanes. You're going to have leaders that come that are going to do incredibly wicked things. Know that they are going to kill you. For my name's sake, these are the things that are going to happen to you." And then you look at Revelation 19, you see the end of the story where they're saying that there's this, the judgments that are coming out because he's judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. The judgment of God is coming upon all of these people. These people who thought, "We are bigger than you. Who is the Lord God that I should listen to him?" These people who have been absolutely brutal to God's people, these people who have fornicated, these people who have done whatever what was right in their own eyes. And God is saying, "But I have preserved for me a people, a remnant, the elect that I will gather from all of the earth. And you will be there together, and there is going to be this great multitude saying, 'Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belongs to the Lord our God.'" Being there just saying, "He is glorious in everything." It tells us there's this voice that comes from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you servants and those who fear him, both small and great." And then there's this voice, like a great multitude, like the sound of many waters, like the sound of mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. This is the entire message of the book of Daniel. From beginning to end, God is showing us through the prophet Daniel that the Lord God omnipotent reigns. God can shut the mouths of lions. Not hard for him, as Daniel's in the lion's den. God can preserve Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they're thrown into the fiery furnace and they're fine, and he's there to minister to them. God's showing us through the whole thing, the whole book of Daniel, and throughout all of Scripture, that we as God's people can say, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And when you're going on a path in which you do not want to be on, and when you're going on a path in which it is brutal and it's difficult and it's hard and you're thinking, why? Why? God's people can respond by saying, I don't know why, but hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. Isn't that radical? Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true saints of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of the prophecy. And now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come, gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, kings of the earth and the armies, gathered together to make war against him who sat on the white horse and against his army. And then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. He wins. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. These wicked things that are taking place, when the angel's saying, Daniel, here's all the things that are going to occur. We look at the end of the story, and we look at the end of the story and say, he's coming on a white horse, and his eyes are like a flame of fire. This is what's going to happen. From the mouth of him, from the sword that proceeds from the mouth of him, they're destroyed. All of them. And then what happens for us? Look at Revelation 20, verse 7. And now when 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. He'll go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp and the saints of the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast in a lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. And then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in those in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We look there at Daniel chapter 12, where it says, and at that time your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, whose names are found written in the book, those whose faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been redeemed because they trust him for their salvation. The Holy Spirit has illuminated them, has taken their heart of stone and given them a heart of flesh that they might believe in the gospel. They trust him. You sit here this morning and say, my hope for eternity in heaven is that my sins were placed upon him as he hung on the cross, and his righteousness has been placed upon me. Not by anything that I could ever do to earn his favor, but it's all by grace, and it is all in Christ, and it is all by faith alone, not of works. It's all him. A salvation that is so sweet that we could have full confidence that when it says anyone whose names were found written in the book, we can say with full confidence that my name is written in the book because my hope is in Christ and it is in the gospel. It is in a salvation in which God has given to me by his grace as he died on the cross for my sins. For believers, Revelation 21, verse 3, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And then who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I give the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. You may be here this morning thinking, I'm new here. They went through a lot of scripture today. Don't know that I followed completely all the details. The reason why we covered so much scripture today is because it is the very words of God. It's God's word. You don't care what Kevin Otsuji thinks on these things. Trust me, you don't care. You don't care my ideas. You don't care about just fun stuff in my life. There's no authority in it. The authority is in the Word of God. And you look at this, and there will come a time where there will be a voice that comes out saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Daniel 12 says, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life. Those to everlasting life will dwell with him. They'll be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Is that good? As you're going on your path and you're thinking, my path is brutal. It's brutal. Is it good to look at this and you say, I will be with him. He'll wipe away every tear. He will make it so there's no more death and there will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying. There will be no more pain. The former things have passed away. And then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And then he said, God said, write these words. Write, for these words are true and faithful. Write, because what I'm saying right now is true and it's faithful and you can be assured of it. Just as you could be assured that everything that Daniel said would happen, happened, you could be just as assured that what God says is going to happen in the future will happen in the future, and there will be God coming down from heaven with his people, and it will be glorious. He says, write these things. It's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. And that might be you here this morning. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him for your salvation. Be found in the book. In the book that it talked about in Daniel, that it talked about in Revelation, that it talks about throughout all scripture. The book of those who trust in Christ for their salvation. The last two verses of the Bible say this. He who testifies to these things says, surely I come quickly. Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for what you tell us will take place in the future. Thank you for the book of Daniel, to be able to see that you are a God that is into details, a God who is sovereign over kings and queens and princes and princesses, over horrible things that come upon your people. You know these things altogether. Just as much as you knew every detail that would take place in the course of history that you reveal in Daniel chapter 11, you know the details of what will take place in each one of our lives. And you're good. And you have plans for us. And you can work all things together for good to those who love you, to the called. And I pray, Lord, that our confidence in you would be so great this morning that we would trust you and that we would love you and that we would adore you and that the fruit of our lips as we sing praises to you this morning would be just with all that is within us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.